That's good to be back among you and see you all again. In somewhat different circumstances from the last time I was here, but God is the same. He does not change. And He is our fortress and our rock, and we rest upon Him. And this morning we're going to look at a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. That babe that we just sang of, that we came to worship Christ the newborn King, that newborn King grew to a man, lived, taught, and He preached this Sermon on the Mount that we're going to consider this morning. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to take up a portion of it. And let's read verses 1 through 11 here in this hour. So Matthew 7 verse 1. Do not judge lest you be judged. And by the way, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. The original old New American Standard, if you care to have a distinction. For in the way you judge, verse 2, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now we're going to focus on these next verses in our study this morning. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Well, let's pray and ask that God would indeed teach us, as the Lord Jesus spoke these words on the mountain many years ago, may He speak them to our hearts this morning, and may we profit thereby. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, for Your Son, our Savior, who came, who lived, who died, who rose, who ascended on high and reigns forevermore. And yet while He was here on earth, taught, preached, spoke many things which are of profit to us. And here we have His sermon preached on the mountain to a multitude and to His disciples. We ask that You would teach us from these words as well this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we read these verses, there's this statement at the beginning of the chapter, do not judge. And then Jesus goes on to say, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and you have a log in your own eye? And He does say that you should, after you take care of your own eye, you should take the speck out of your brother's eye. And so in some sense, there's got to be a judgment made here. You're going to judge. My brother has a speck in his eye and I need to do something. Well, that's a judgment. He said, don't judge. But then there's discernment needed. And He goes on to say, don't give what is holy to dogs, and don't throw your pearls before swine. And so, again, you have to make a judgment. Is this person a dog or a hog or not? And there's discernment needed. And so when He says at the beginning of the chapter, well, not a chapter, in His sermon, but when He says, do not judge, it's not an absolute prohibition of all discernment, but it's meaning don't judge like a hypocrite. Discernment is needed. But don't be a hypocrite in your judgment. Well, this is kind of like what we read in Proverbs where Solomon wrote, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. And then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. Well, which is it? You need discernment. Where do you get discernment? Where do you get this kind of wisdom? From God. And so right after saying making these statements, don't judge, take care of specs, be discerning about dogs and hogs. He then says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find, ask and knock and it shall be opened to you. And so this command to prayer, returning to the subject of prayer, is, I think, appropriately tied to the context in which you have a sense of, I need help with these things. I need help in discernment. I need wisdom. Where do I get it? Well, you ask. And so, of course, Jesus makes this invitation to prayer, this actually imperative of prayer, not just with regard to discernment, but he opens it for everything. And so this is our subject in this opening hour, is prayer. And as we look at verses 7 through 11, I'm going to outline it under 5 points, and they all start with I. That makes it easy, hopefully, to remember. And so your outline is I. Right? You can remember that? I hope that sticks. It sticks with me. And then you have to think, well, what did those I's stand for? Well, here they are. First of all, you have the imperatives of prayer, and they're right there. Ask, seek, knock. And then you have the incentives to prayer, and Jesus gives us incentives in the promises, etc., that follow. And then we have the indications of believing prayer. What marks the person who prays in this way? And then some inquiries, and this is really not on the face of the text, but trying to apply the text in a way by asking some questions, some inquiries regarding prayer, and then finally the implications for us today. So those are 5 I's. First of all, the imperatives. Let's look at those in turn. Ask. Well, we all know what it means to ask. You don't need a theological treatise to deal with that. My father encouraged us when we were young to use boldness in asking because, well, children are a little timid, you know. They say, Mom, you ask. You know, Dad, would you do, you talk to him. Well, children need to be encouraged to have courage. And so my dad would tell us, well, you go ahead and ask. Well, the worst thing that can happen is they'll say no, right? So you have to, you know, give your kids a little push and teach them. But the Savior doesn't merely encourage us and give us a little push. He commands us. So it's an imperative. These 3 words, ask, seek, knock, are in the imperative mood. And in fact, they are, and this is a little Greek lesson perhaps, but it's important. This is a form of the imperative or the command, which is a continuous command. There are 2 forms of command in the Greek language. One is kind of immediate. All right, so dads, think of this. You're teaching your kids to drive, right? And so your son is at the wheel, and you're there in the passenger seat, and you're coming up to, you know, approaching a red light, and it goes red. And your son is carrying on pretty much at the speed he was going at, and you say, stop! That's an imperative that's immediate. But then there's a continuous imperative, like you might say to him, son, you need to be alert, you need to be aware of your surroundings, you need to be on the lookout, don't look at your phone, just keep your eyes up. That's a continuous imperative, all right? So let's keep on doing it. Well, that's the kind of imperative that we have here. It's a continuous present imperative. It's something that you keep on doing, in other words. And so God is saying to us, keep on praying. Keep on asking. Don't stop. What do you need every day? Well, daily bread. You go back to what he's taught in the previous chapter. Give us this day our daily bread. How many days do you need daily bread? Well, today, tomorrow, the next day. So you keep on praying. Keep on asking. All right, so we ask God for what we need. We need discernment. We need help. We need grace. We need grace to fight temptation. So we keep on asking. It's not something in the Christian life that you do once. We need forgiveness for sin. Do we need forgiveness again and again? Sadly, yes, we keep on asking. And that's what Christ commands us to do here. Keep on asking. And then the next word is seek. It's also, again, a present imperative. It's something you keep doing. And as you look at this, I think there's a progression in what Jesus says. There's ask, which you can do sitting right there. You can ask, you know, while you're reclining in your lazy boy. But to seek, you've got to get up. You think of what Jesus said about the merchant seeking fine pearls in that parable in Matthew 13. You know, there's this merchant who's seeking fine pearls, and he finds the pearl of great price. But seeking is not something he does in his lazy boy. To seek those fine pearls, he's got to go out to maybe to other merchants, and he goes and surveys their pearls, and or maybe he goes down to the dock when they're hauling in their catch of oysters, and he's opening up oysters, and that's a kind of a slimy business, opening up the oysters and digging in there and looking for a good pearl. Well, this is an activity. And so when we seek from God, we are working at it. Our souls are struggling, and we're actively seeking His help, seeking what we need, not for luxuries, but necessities. We go and we seek. And so our prayers should have something of seeking. We're seeking His help, and we're pleading with Him to help us in these ways. Not that He's unwilling, not that He's saying, all right, a little harder now. But we have to go at it. We have to seek from Him what we need. And remember that merchant, he kept seeking until he found that pearl. And so we need to keep seeking. And then the last word is knock. Again, this is something active. You have to go to the door and you knock at that door. Now, let me ask you this question. Have you ever gone to a door and knocked, kind of hoping maybe nobody's there? You know, maybe door-to-door evangelism. If you're a shy person, you go and you knock on the door. Oh, nobody's home. Okay. But that's not the kind of knocking here. This is a knocking that is earnest. And we know God is at home. And He's our Father in heaven. And we knock at that door. It's the picture of Luke 11. I just want to flip over there. So Luke 11, that parable of the neighbor, the friend who goes to his neighbor, verse 5. Suppose one of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey. This is Luke 11, 5 and following. I have nothing to set before him. Inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So he goes to the door. He knocks on his door and he says, I need this. Go away. Leave me alone. And he keeps at it. And so this is, again, that present imperative. You keep on knocking. Now, thankfully, our Father is not reluctant to give. Will not your Father give? And so that leads us to the next point, the incentives to prayer. So there's these imperatives. Ask. You know what that means. Seek. Go to God looking for what you need. Knock. Keep at it. Persistently. Now, what are the incentives? Well, there's a promise given in verse 7. And as he gives the command, he gives a promise. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. There's a reward, as it were, promised to these activities. You're not asking in vain. You're not asking the ceiling and saying, you know, please send a shower of blessing. You're asking your Father in heaven. And he promises. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. Then he repeats it in verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be open. He repeats what he just said, but he adds a little bit here. He says, for everyone. Now, of course, this is not for dogs and hogs. This is for genuine children of the Father, but everyone who is a child of the Father, who asks and seeks and knocks from God, has His promise. Now, Do you think of this when you pray? This is what my Father has said. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. That's what God the Father has said. There's a promise repeated. And keep that in mind. But then there's also the fact of the Father's heavenly mercy. And he goes on to say, or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? All right, dads, your son comes to you hungry. Dad, I'm hungry. You're going to say, okay, have a stone. Now, how many of you are practical jokers? Okay, there are a couple of us here. Now, but even a practical joker dad jokes. You're still not going to give your son a stone, right? Because he bites that, he's going to break a tooth, you have to pay the dentist bill. And no dad's going to do that. Maybe you'll give him a piece of styrofoam that looks like bread, but you're not going to give him a stone. What father among you? You love your kids. You want what's good for them. And especially if they come really, Dad, I'm so hungry. You might say, oh, it's only half hour till dinner. You just wait. You might say that. But you're not going to give him something that's going to be bad for them. That's the point. You are like that. And then he uses the illustration of asking for something, a fish to go with the bread. You don't just eat bread. You want something to go with it. So the son asks for a fish. Are you going to give him a snake? Now, again, practical joker dads, a rubber snake? I don't know. You're not going to give him a snake, though, that's going to bite him. It might bite you. It's just not a good... you're not going to do that. How many dads have ever given their son a snake instead of a fish? I mean, to eat. Maybe as a pet? I don't know. Not I. But it's just what you wouldn't do. But then he adds here, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? And so, earthly fathers, sadly, and this is what he says, if you then, being evil, dads, don't we have to admit, you thought you were a good person, right? You thought you had, for example, anger under control. Oh, I'm a very patient person. And then you have kids. Guess what happens? You ever have that experience, dads? Yeah, kids can push your buttons and pull your chain and they can provoke. And it's part of fallen, sinful human nature. And anger, sadly, is part of our fallen, sinful nature in response. If you then, being evil, are not going to give your kid a stone or a snake, how much more? We have a loving, good Heavenly Father. He's good. He's merciful. His mercies, what does it say in the Psalms, are over all his works. This is our Father in heaven. He will give what is good. He is not evil. He's the fountain of every good gift. He's not unwise. He knows what you need. He's not going to give you a rock, even if you ask for a rock or a snake. Dad, can I please have this rattlesnake? Can I have this adder, this poison adder, please, Dad? Can I sleep with it tonight? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts, what is good to your children, how much more your Father? He's not going to give you, even if you ask for the wrong thing. Now, he might let you, taste the evil, the folly of your ways, but he's not going to, he cares enough. He will give what is good. It's to his child. It's not to a hog or a dog. It's his child. And notice again, It says, ask and you'll receive. James tells us in James 4:3, you do not have because you do not ask. So the Father is there with gifts. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11 that he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. And so there's the Father with his reward in his hands, the good gifts, and you don't ask. Ask your Father in heaven. And so that's the second incentive. You're coming to your Father. You're not coming to a harsh stranger. You're not coming to the principal of the school or the slave driving master. You're coming to your Father who loves you. Will he not give good gifts to his children? And so, those who ask. Now, the third thing is the indications. And I just want to say that this is not, even though it says everyone who asks receives, there are certain things that would indicate the kind of prayer God answers. Because let's be honest, there are some prayers God does not respond to. So when it says everyone who asks receives, well, there have to be certain qualifications. And so I call that the indications of believing prayer. First of all, it's a prayer of a child of the Father. What man is there among you when his son shall ask him for a loaf? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, what about your Father? And so it's the relationship of a father and a son. It's the prayer of a true disciple. Going back to the Beatitudes, these disciples are described in Matthew 5, 1 to 12. These are the people that are blessed in this way. They're the ones who are poor in spirit, who mourn over their sin. They've been made gentle because they see their need. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They've received mercy. Therefore, they're merciful and they receive more mercy. They're pure in their hearts. They've been purified by the blood of Jesus. They're peacemakers because God has made peace first with them. There are those who've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness. In other words, they're willing to stand up for Jesus. There's sheep. There's children. This is the first qualification here. It's the prayer of a child of the Father. Secondly, it's a prayer for what is good. Notice again in Matthew 7:11, it says, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? It's a prayer for what is good. Sometimes people complain God didn't answer, but they're asking for the wrong thing. What is good is according to his commands. This is how John put it, 1 John 3:22. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. What is good is according to his commands. So you ask for something wicked, I hope he won't give it. And if he does give it, it's more of a punishment than a blessing. Because he's your Father. And he wants what is good. He will give what is good. And so it's a prayer. It should be a prayer for what is good. John went on to say, 1 John 5:14 and 15, this is our confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. But again, there's that qualification. It's believing prayer, the prayer of a believer, for that which is good according to his commands. And thirdly, it's a prayer of faith. James tells us, with regard to the prayer for wisdom or discernment, and we could apply this really to all prayer, let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So it's a prayer of faith. Do you believe there's a God in heaven? Do you believe that he's in control of all things? Do you believe that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? Well, ask in faith. You know, sometimes we're like the disciples in the room there with Peter in prison, and they're praying that Peter will be released, and, oh Lord, please release Peter, we want Peter back. And Peter comes and knocks on the gate, and the servant girl Rhoda goes and peeps through the peephole and says, it's Peter. And they say, oh, come on, it's his ghost. You know, it can't be. Well, do we believe? Now, not that we expect everything we pray for is going to be delivered just like that, but do we believe? We pray for people to be saved here in New Jersey. Is God able to do that? I mean, we let's be honest. See, churches here in New Jersey have fallen on hard times. It's not just your church. Is God on his throne? Yes. Can we ask him to move? Yes. That mean he'll do it immediately? No. But it means he hears and he's able in his time to deliver. Let's ask in faith as we pray. Pray for the church. Pray for our families. Pray for the needs of our country and the world in missions. We pray in faith. Now, some inquiries with regard to prayer. Now, I said, this is the first question, I said that this is for believers, for children, and not for dogs and hogs, not for dogs and swine. Well, then maybe someone might ask, well, what about me? I'm not a Christian yet. How, if I pray, will God hear me? I mean, you said, Pastor, that he doesn't listen to the prayer of those who aren't his children. I'm not his child. How can I approach him then? Well, here's the thing. That there's one prayer of an unconverted person that I can guarantee God will hear. And that's a prayer like the tax collector that we read of in Luke 18, who said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God be merciful. Like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. When an unbeliever, a sinner, comes to Jesus and cries to him for help, will he hear? Yes, he will. Maybe you say, well, what about that Syrophoenician woman? You know, she came and asked Jesus for help, and it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. You're a dog, in other words. Boy, that's how offensive, you know? Especially in that culture, they were not real fond of dogs, although they did have, and the word that the Syrophoenician woman used is very significant. She said, yes, but even the dogs under the table. And she uses a diminutive, a kind of a pet term. And we, in English, we would say even the doglings or the puppies under the table eat the children's bread. Even the little dogs, the pet dogs, it's a different word than what Jesus used, but it's still related to canines. Even the doglings under the table get the children's crumbs. Now what faith is that? And did her prayer get answered? It did. And so even you say, but I'm just a dog, I'm not a Christian. And I come and ask, and he's going to say, don't give to dogs what is good. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I have no hope. But here's the hope, you see. Just like that Syrophoenician woman, you come and you say, yeah, oh, Father, I'm just a little dog here. Please give me crumbs. Give me your grace. Give me your mercy. And Jesus answered. And he said, I have not seen such great faith, even in Israel. He commended the lady's what? Faith. Ask in faith. Do not despair. Trust his mercy. The promise is this. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right, the privilege, to become children of God. And what does it mean to receive him? Well, he defines it. Even to those who believe in His name. You come and you say, Jesus, I have no hope but in You. I see that You're the Savior of sinners, the Savior of all who come to You. I come. Savior. Will God hear that prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. But then maybe the second question is this. But I have asked, and I sought, and I've knocked, and nothing happened. You ever have that experience? Does that cast doubt on the words of Jesus and nullify or cancel His promise? No. And I'll give you a few possibilities. God is true, though every man is a liar. We can trust His word and His promise. Ask, seek, knock. You will receive. You will find. You will have the door opened. And so the first possibility is maybe you were asking for a rock or a snake. He's a good father. And He says, No son, no daughter. I'm not going to give you that because it's not for your good. And I'm going to give you what is good. Maybe that's the answer. So you need to go back and look at your request. Is this request according to the will of God? And of course, some requests, we don't have chapter and verse to say, well, you know, this woman, I'm asking God that this woman will say yes to my proposal. And she says no. Well, maybe she's not the right girl for you. And perhaps some of us have had that kind of experience. And at the end of the day, we say, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. That girl said no, because it would have been a disaster. Thank You, Father. You did not give me a rock or a snake. Second thing is, maybe you need to keep asking, seeking, and knocking, because it's, remember, a continuous activity. It's not something you do once and say, well, that didn't work. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. That's the point of persevering prayer. And in fact, when we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you pray 24/7. Nobody does that. Yeah, you have to sleep sometime. Pray without ceasing. What does it mean? It means pray without giving up. Pray without giving up. If it's something according to the will of God, and for example, we know that God does not delight in the death of the wicked, but they turn from their way and live. So we can pray that. And keep on praying that. We can keep on praying for New Jersey. Paul prayed, he said, for his brethren, the Jews. Not all Jews were converted, but he kept on praying for them. And some were. And some were. So we keep on praying. Are we persevering? Maybe that's the need. Or maybe you're asking, third possibility, you're asking with bad motives. James says this in James 4:3. You ask and do not receive. You know, there you go. I asked and it didn't happen. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend it on your pleasures. So search your heart. Maybe we need to look here and say, maybe I'm not receiving because my heart is not right with God and I'm asking for the wrong thing. And there are a lot of people, you know, in the world especially who ask God for things, you know, who, well, I prayed and it didn't, nothing happened. Well, because they're asking for to feed their lusts. They're asking for money because they love money and they worship it. And they are idolaters of money. And God didn't give it because they're asking with wrong motives. So we, the people of God, need to search our hearts. Are my motives right? Am I right with God in this? Am I asking according to His will? Or maybe, and I'm just going down some possibilities, maybe it is that God has something better for you. Look at Romans 5. All right, we know what we want, and maybe we're asking for a peaceful life. You know, we're asking for trials to end. And this is what God says in Romans 5, verse 3. Not only this, do we rejoice in hope of the glory of God, we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Something better. And maybe that something better involves tribulation. And we ask for God to end our trials. We ask for God to bring healing immediately. But God has something better. Tribulation works perseverance, proven character, hope, and love poured out in your heart. Is that a good thing? Absolutely. Is the way easy? No. And so maybe what you're asking for, God doesn't give to you because he's got something better. Think about Paul with his thorn in the flesh. Remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he tells us that three times I sought God, I implored him, I asked that this thorn be taken away. Ask, it shall be given. I sought God. I knocked. What happened? God had something better. What was the better? My grace is sufficient for you. Aren't you glad that happened? Because if that didn't happen to Paul, we wouldn't have that verse. Therefore, I will most gladly exalt, boast in my weakness. Because he has said, when I am weak, then I am strong. It's his weakness, our weakness rather, in which he perfects his strength. So maybe his strength is going to be poured out in your weakness all the more. So maybe God has something better for you. And yet part of the better for Paul was that we'd be humbled. A thorn was given to me to keep me from exalting myself because of these visions that I had had. Well, maybe it's a physical weakness. Maybe, whatever it may be, God has something better. Humility. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
Absolutely. I am opposed to the proud, God says. But he gives grace to the humble. Which would you rather be? Have God against you? Or have his grace? And so, maybe God has something better in store for you. Trust him. Trust the Father. Go to him and ask him and talk to him. So there are these inquiries with regard to prayer. All right, so we've seen the imperative. We've seen the incentives. We've seen these indications and then some inquiries. And now lastly, the implications for today. And let me just ask four questions as we close in this first hour. First of all, are you praying? Now, as a pastor, I talk to people in our congregation and I ask the question about their devotional life and not just are you reading your Bible, but are you praying? Sadly, the answer is not always an unqualified yes. Well, yeah, I try to pray, you know, I'm in the car going to work, and so, well, how concentrated is your prayer in the car going to work? You know, I hope you're watching the road as well, and you're not closing your eyes to pray, but I would encourage you. Are you praying? Are you taking the time to ask, seek, and knock? Not just, by the way, what we get, what we need, but also praise and forgiveness, and repentance, supplication, praising God for his mercy, thanksgiving. Are you praying? Now, do you persevere in prayer? Is another question. I know a father who prayed for his son year after year. Year after year. For a long time. He was on his deathbed. Couldn't talk anymore. And his son, sitting by his side, observing how his father was passing away, remembering his life, his son was converted at the deathbed of his father. His father probably wasn't aware of it here on earth and learned it when he got to heaven. But the point is this. Keep on praying and don't give up. Are you praying in faith? Let him pray in faith, James said. Not a kind of a mustering up of inner strength. Okay, I believe this. You know, it's not that I'm gonna have great faith. As though it's the strength of your inner person that's gonna make it happen. I read this story of a child who was asked to define faith, and this child defined faith as believing what you know isn't true. What? No, that's not faith. Not at all. Faith is believing the God who is there, that he can do exceeding abundantly more than we ask or think. Are you praying that the God who made the world and all things in it is the God you're talking to? And this is what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 32, and I just read these verses this morning in my devotions. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Now just think about this world, the trees and the marvels of nature, and even the stars and all that is out there. And God made them with a word, let there be, and there was. Is anything too difficult for him? And obviously the answer is no. Can God do everything? No. God can't sin. All right? Don't get tricked by that foolish question. God can't sin. But God can do all his holy will. That's the proper answer. God can do all his holy will. And there's nothing, therefore, that's too difficult for him. And so pray in faith. Trust him. Are you asking great things? He's a great king. And that hymn, one of the ones in our hymnal that I love, says, thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. Bring big requests. You know, my mom told me this story. She read somewhere there politicians or famous people were asked, what's your wish for Christmas? And, you know, some said, you know, peace on earth, or maybe even specific peace in the Middle East. And then they asked this one guy, said, well, I would just like some chocolate covered cherries. Well, okay, he was honest. But we're coming to a king. Let's not trivialize our requests. Then that doesn't mean, though, that little things we can't ask of God either. But don't neglect the big things. And then lastly, and here's our last question for this opening hour. Are you a child of God? Because you see, this is a promise to the children. And if you're not, then what do you need to do? I've already said it. You need to come to him and ask for his mercy. Will he give mercy? Will you hear that? Absolutely. Those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who seek him. And the greatest and first reward that anyone can receive from God is the reward of eternal life. Come and seek it. Ask. Is it a good thing? He gives good things. It's the best thing. Come to know the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this encouragement to us to pray, and we confess that all too often, we would forget to pray or trivialize our prayers or even pray with doubt and forget that we're coming to a great king. And so pardon us for our faulty praying or lack of praying, and help us to heed our Savior's words here to ask, to seek, to knock, and to find encouragement in the promise that we will receive, we will find, and the door will be opened. And so encourage our hearts, and even as we pray for your church here in Lumberton, that you would bless, you would open the windows of heaven. Hear our cry. Strengthen that which remains and add to it. And we cry to you for grace, even today, that you would bless our gathering. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.